Hey everybody, Wes here. Before we start the show, just wanted to let you know that due to some technical difficulties, that this episode recapping the Heat's game two win over the Sixers was cut just a little bit short. The second half of the show was just not usable. Again, just due to some technical difficulties with our audio software. So again, it's a little bit of a shorter episode, but still a good one. We talk about all of Dwayne Wade's greatness. That all remains in the show, so enjoy. It's a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, vintage Dwayne Wade lifts the Heat to a huge game two win versus the Sixers on Monday night.
We'll take a look at how the Heat even the series and what to expect when game three comes back to Miami. Thank you for listening, for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, a credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation, allyoucanheat.com. I cover the league at large for Fansided, and you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at TheRamil13.
As Eric Spoelstra likes to say, Dwayne Wade is made for these moments. Down 0-1 to the Sixers, Wade was vintage flash from the moment he stepped on the court. Wade made his first seven shots of the game and finished with 28 points, including the dagger with less than a minute left in the game. If you told me before the season, David, that Dwayne Wade would be back playing for the Heat in the playoffs and lifting the team in classic Wade fashion in the first round, I never would have believed you. What a moment.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know that anybody could have predicted something quite so storybook, to be honest with you. His performance from beginning to end, understanding the moment better than anybody else, and really showed tonight something I think you and I and Keith Pompey had talked about of Locked On Sixers. We had talked about Wade's potential impact in the series. We certainly saw it in game two. At any point in time when it looked like the Sixers might take a run or might start to establish themselves again, Wade was there to put the clamps down and to say, you know what? No, I'm going to take over this game in the way that only I can. That last shot in particular, for you to bring that up, that dagger, to do so for Ben Simmons, you know, one of the best defenders in the game, a guy who's been talked about as an all-NBA defensive selection perhaps. Wade just nailed that shot right over him without even thinking about it. It was merciless, it was cold-blooded, and it was absolutely perfect.
And you, speaking of all NBA, I mean, this was earlier in the game, but you tweeted at one point how Wade just like posted up Robert Covington, who is going to make an all NBA defensive team. He just posted it up, and at the end of the shot clock, it was almost a desperation shot. Didn't matter. I mean, usually players try to get the ball out of their hands in those situations, especially going up against a defender like Covington. Wade was like, no, I'm just going to go to my this one shot that I've done a million times over and over again in my career. I don't care who's defending me. It doesn't matter. I'm going to hit it. And he did. And he was feeling it from the, like I said, started 7 of 7 from the game. Was just absolutely, he was just great from the very beginning. And he mentioned after the game how Justice Winslow told him to empty the clip. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, he emptied the clip. He took out all the tricks from his bag of tricks. It was all of the great Dwayne Wade things. We saw the turnaround. We saw the Euro step. We saw the clutch dagger from mid-range. It was all the great Dwayne Wade things. And in particular, that fourth quarter, like you were talking about, look, the Sixers, the Heat went into that fourth quarter with a double-digit lead. And the Sixers got it down to 2 points with 4 minutes and 15 seconds left. And that's when Dwayne Wade checked back in. And immediately Dwayne Wade strips the ball from Dario Saric, and Kelly Olynyk gets the loose ball, passes it out to Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade slams it home. Heat go up
phenomenal.
By 4 points.
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
On the very next possession, Wade drives to the rim, kicks it out to an open James Johnson who hits a jumper. It's 102-96. And on the very next possession, the Heat miss a shot, but Dwayne Wade gets the offensive rebound. Kicks it out to James Johnson, who kicks it out to Goran Dragic. Dragic hits the mid-range jumper. Miami takes a 104-96 lead. Later on, Wade hits the dagger. I mean, it was all whatever the Heat needed, Dwayne Wade did it in those last 4 minutes.
Yeah, that defensive strip on Covington, or was it on Saric, sorry, where he forced the ball. Yeah, he completely anticipated what Sharvich was going to do. He shagged off his man and went right over there, knocked the ball free, and then just kind of ran down the court, and Olynyk found him. Perfect execution. It was just a great, fun game to see him dominate as much as possible. What was it that he said to Sirot in her piece a couple weeks ago? Was it, "I'm not as good as I once was, but I can be good once as I was," or something like that?
Yeah, like, something like
understanding
that.
Understanding that he could still pull out these moments occasionally, not as often or as frequently as he once did. And clearly tonight was one of those great times, totally reminiscent of some of the best performances where he's contributing on all facets of the game, making sharp passes, rebounding, like you pointed out, making great defensive plays. And of course, the offense was absolutely perfect. What a great, great, great fun game. Look, it got a little dicey in the fourth quarter, but I'm glad that he was there to right the ship. But you know what? Let's not overlook some of the great performances. I'm sure we'll talk about this later in the show, but there were a number of players in the roster that had really big nights for Miami.
I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm not ready. I want to bask in the Dwayne Wade. I need more Wade. Look, that strip on Saric, Dwayne Wade made it a point in that game to be really, really aggressive with the passing lanes. Yes. And that was, again, from the very beginning. I mean, you could see he wasn't getting steals necessarily. I mean, he ended up with two steals in the game, but he was really aggressive playing the pass. He was anticipatory. He was trying to jump passes before they were even there. He understood that, look, it was a struggle to score on the Sixers defense in game one. And if the Heat were going to win this game, they were going to need some easy points. And they did get 17 points off of turnovers in the game, which was more than they did in game one, I believe. But he was playing those passing lanes really aggressively, and I just kept thinking, it's only a matter of time before he gets something. And even though the Saric steal wasn't necessarily a passing lane, he was still aggressive, just trying to grab the ball while he was on defense and creating offense out of it.
We've talked about all season, though, that was something that we saw as soon as his addition was finalized. He went in there and almost automatically, instead of just trying to play man-to-man defense and really cover your opponent, he was more about forcing turnovers that led to easy offense. And we start to see that, we saw it after the acquisition in February, but it's been something there that over the last couple months of the season, it was there tonight.
And just in general, his calming presence. I mean, Miami was in a bind. Yes. before he checked in. I mean, it looked like all the wheels were falling off. And Wade checks in, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to make the steal. I'm going to get a dunk in transition. I'm going to get an offensive rebound. I'm going to get you on an assist. I'm going to hit another shot. He knew how to do it. And that's when we went into the series talking about how experience is going to come into play. And it certainly did at the end, not only with Wade, but after Wade checked in, he had a calming presence on the rest of the team. Everybody executed really well. You can't say that about the Sixers. I mean, we saw J.J. Redick fumble a ball through his legs. I mean, Bill Buckner style. Oh. There was not execution on the Philadelphia side. Miami executed in all facets on their end, and they ended up coming out with the win. And now the series goes back to Miami for game three, tied at 1-1. Look, it was a blowout in game one, but this is still anybody's series going into game three.
I mean, that's fair. I think that's the best that you could have hoped for. I don't think it was likely. We thought that they would be able to steal game one more easily. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way for Miami after that second half collapse in game one. But you know what? Tonight was a 48-minute effort. It was a really strong showing. And I think it really did a lot to kind of show Philadelphia that Miami's capable of limiting what it is that they do well. It wasn't a perfect game, but it was good enough to show them that Miami can compete at a high level and could potentially steal the series. Look, they're still the underdog. I think you still have to look at Philadelphia's talent and the potential return of Joel Embiid coming up either in game three or in game four. We're not quite sure when at this point, but whenever he does, it will definitely tilt things back in Philadelphia's favor. So we'll see how it plays out. But for now, Miami in a really good position going back to Miami.
We'll talk about Goran Dragic a little bit more later on, but he had a nice game, 20 points on 8 of 14 shooting. James Johnson made all 7 of his field goal attempts with a really quiet game just because he was overshadowed, I suppose, by Dwayne Wade, but 18 points on 7 of 7 shooting, made both of his three-pointers, 7 yeah. rebounds, 5 assists, and good defense against Ben Simmons down the stretch. And then Kelly Olynyk chipped in 11 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Nice game from Kelly Olynyk, too. And then, of course, we've got to mention Hassan Whiteside, only 15 minutes, had 4 points in the game, seemed to be outmatched early in the game. But he played his first two stints for the first half and the second half, and that's about as much as we got from Whiteside. Maybe he'll play more if Joel Embiid will play later. That's all we have for today. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat, and support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.